afternoon, everyone. It's 5 o'clock. Perhaps we can open the agenda briefing session this afternoon. I formally declare it open at 5 o'clock. And if I could respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land which we meet, the Whadjuk Noongar people of Western Australia, and pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging. It is a privilege to be standing on Whadjuk Noongar country. CEO, can you please recite the prayer?
Almighty God, under whose providence we hold responsibility for this city, grant us wisdom to understand its present needs, foresight to anticipate its future growth, and grace to serve our fellow citizens with integrity and selfless devotion. And to thee be all blessing and glory forever. Amen.
Thank you very much. And for those in the gallery and those who are joining us as this session is being live streamed, I'm the Deputy Lord Mayor filling in for the Honourable, Right Honourable Lord Mayor Basil Zemplis, who is taking a well-earned break before Christmas mania sets in. And it was just a fluke that the CEO and I are wearing exactly the same clothes. It is not the new uniform, although it could be a good idea.
Very handy.
Moving on to item number 3 on our agenda tonight. In attendance, we have Councillor Clyde Bevan, Councillor Liam Gobbett, Councillor Rebecca Gordon, Councillor Catherine Leeser and Councillor Victor Coe. In addition, can I welcome the CEO, her fellow officers and any members of the public and the media that might be here. And there are no members on an approved leave of absence besides the Lord Mayor. Here's an apology. Okay. So there are no members on an approved leave of absence, and it is protocol for me to remind councillors to please submit any applications for a leave of absence prior to next week's ordinary council meeting. Item number 3.1, CEO, do we have any apologies?
Yes, Deputy Lord Mayor, we have received apologies from Lord Mayor Basil Zemplis, Councillor Angie and Councillor Fleeton.
Thank you. Item number 4, announcements. Well, I thought while the cat was away, I could take the opportunity, and Councillor Gordon, you can set the clock if you like, but I promise I will not take more than 10 minutes just to make a couple of statements today. I think it would be remiss of me not to acknowledge a couple of recent announcements that have the potential to significantly impact on the fortunes of our beloved city. Firstly, today, the state government announced it would throw more resources at tackling antisocial behaviour in Perth, CBD and Northbridge. It starts with a major endorsement of RuForce, the security personnel that we at the city have been working closely with since we were all elected just over a year ago. They'll be given nearly $1 million by the state to roll out more security services. And thank you very much to the State Member for Perth, John Kerry, Minister Papalia and Minister McGurk for today's decision. It is warmly welcomed by ratepayers and your council. There'll also be an increased number of police in Yagan Square, which is a key connector of the city to Northbridge, and it's home to some of Perth's best bars, including the Shoe and across the road, my favourite, the Royal. And there'll be a $2.5 million upgrade to the Perth Train Station forecourt, which I think we'd agree is a much-needed investment. And there'll be a new city working group to coordinate the rollout of this much, much needed activity. The other significant announcement, of course, was the highly anticipated reopening of our borders on February the 5th. Personally, I'm so excited about what this means for our hotel and tour operators in the city. Thousands of brand new hotel rooms have been waiting, not just for the leisure visitor to return to Western Australia, but for big conventions and big conferences to come and fill their rooms with a lucrative business traveller. There's no doubt in my mind that next year will be challenging as we learn to live with COVID, but getting back to normal or the new normal will present a huge economic windfall for Perth. And with our administration currently working on our economic development strategy, the timing's perfect for us to take advantage of some of the opportunities ahead of us and really start to think big. So it's exciting times ahead. Moving on to item number 5, public participation. So public questions will be held at the Ordinary Council meeting next week. And item 5.2 is deputation CEO. Are there any deputations?
Yes, Deputy Lord Mayor, we have received 2 deputations in relation to item 14.3.
Thank you very much, CEO. We have a 10-minute limit for deputations. If I could invite Rachel Thomas, representing West Perth Local, to please step forward to make your deputation. Rachel, welcome.
Hi, guys. Welcome. Be kind to me for my first deputation. So for everyone, so good afternoon. I'm Rachel Thomas. So I'm also actually the outgoing Vice Chair of West Perth Local. Now I'm an ordinary committee member. And I'm actually also speaking on behalf of some other town teams, Northbridge Common and the City of Perth Western residents. Now, I'm also a subject matter on this topic, which is the Community Group Insurance Support Program. And for those that don't know that I'm an insurance broker, I've been doing that for over, I've been a broker for about 10 years in the industry for about 22. So I think out of all the parties involved, I'm probably one of the ones who's most likely qualified and experienced to comment. So what I'd like to say is probably an overview, because no two town teams are the same. We all know this. The cost for insurances will always vary throughout those town teams. Many of us have premises we need to insure for their contents and glass and things to satisfy our landlord's requirements, which we all understand. And then we're also going to be certain events that are going to be outside of our regular public liability insurance, so we're going to have to go on and get separate insurance for those sorts of things as well. The bigger the better, which is what we really want, which means more expense for us as well. But I personally always only recommend one particular insurer to all other community groups for the public liability, and that's community underwriting. Aside from that, the policy is designed for community groups. They've got the best claim service I know of. Their standard policy is very clear and concise when it comes to events and what you can have and what you can hold. And I find I never run into trouble with these ones. That's an aside, I suppose. Above that, association liability and voluntary workers insurance, which was outlined in the proposal, are also the ideal. But yes, as most of us can't afford that due to the cost. I've even had quoted our own town team, and we decided not to cover ourselves for that due to the cost to my umbrage. These insurances are really there to protect us personally as we go about our town team business, and often that's in association with the City of Perth. We share the similar risks, I would suppose, for some of these things that we're doing. Our team, town team, for example, is primarily made up of full-time working professionals. And so, as an example, the limits that we would require on these voluntary workers' insurance would be more than some of the outlines of the $750 I would need 2 or 3 times that to match my wage. And to be very honest, one thing that wasn't mentioned in the brief is that most of us should also have a current workers' compensation policy. We get a lot of businesses in to help us with our events. We get grants, we hold markets, we hold stalls, and we get other small businesses in, generally sole traders and the like, to come and work for us. They are deemed our contractors. If we don't have a policy in place, then we are likely in breach of the Workers' Compensation Act. And with that comes some pretty hefty fines and penalties, as well as public naming as well on the website of being in breach. So I think that's just one thing that I think would be remiss if we didn't also include that in the mix. And I've got a funny feeling most of us are probably breaching that at the moment as we stand, so it's a bit of a shock to the system for some of those as well. And being a good broker I am, I can't go past cyber insurance at least to be considered. I recommend to my clients to drop things like covering their laptops and take out cyber insurance. I can't emphasise this enough. Any one of our town teams who has a website or an email is certainly at risk to losses, but not only that, liability to the third parties, which include everybody in this room as well as all those other stakeholders that we have connection with. Now, pricing. I would expect prices in the insurance market to increase from what you've had before, and they're going to increase a lot. We're in the middle of a hard market cycle, and this looks like it's going to be going on for the next 2 or 3 years. It is the bane of my existence as well. I can't tell you how much pressure this has put on me in my professional life. A hard market cycle pushes upward pressure on premiums, downward pressure on coverages, and it also takes the brokers that are administering those policies a lot more time to get things done. So, of course, their prices will increase. Remember, any claims that we have are going to increase the price as well, what we'll be paying for our insurance. God forbid, touch wood. As I always say, cheap is never better and you pay for what you get. This includes policies and broker fees. If you want a quality service at the start, you obviously want good advice during the year and a comprehensive claim service. I would say if we use the scenario of City of Perth giving a set amount of funds, like the $2,000 noted in the proposal, that's simply not enough. We would need at least $4,000 and more if we have cyber and, more importantly, workers' compensation insurance. I probably wouldn't back a model where the City of Perth arranges the cover for us due to a lot of these previous concerns that I've raised. Obviously, they'll know that they're not qualified and they're not a licensed agent. I can't give advice. We understand that. But it's also fraught with breaches of their own professional indemnity. It would also not be possible to have a set price and limits scheme, as it was briefly outlined as well. There simply wouldn't be an insurer that would bear to do this for up to 10 town teams. They'd probably need more like 100 to be able to have a set price. I would, however, suggest using one insurance brokerage, as it could mean more buying power with the particular insurers that they're using. Policies can also be commandeered, and this can quite easily help fall in line with the City of Perth funding requirements and timeframes as well. And I would also suggest a WA brokerage would be recommended, as Eastern State brokerages do not have the knowledge and or often licences to advise and take out WA workers' compensation policies. So that's all some free advice from myself. Any questions?
Thank you very much, Councillor Laser.
Thank you. So just to be clear, you're happy with the city-funded option that's recommended in the paper, but you think that the $2,000 is woefully inadequate?
Roughly.
And that should be increased to, as you say, $4,000, or is that still not enough?
I think ultimately, if we have everything that is recommended, a broker has to recommend what their client's risks are.
Yes, yes.
It would be very helpful. There's going to be some of those that maybe don't need a workers' compensation policy, but I don't think that's going to be the fact. And we would love to take out a cyber policy. So that just means that $4,000 could pay for the bulk of those policies, and then anything over that we can obviously fund out of our own funds.
I have a question, if that's okay. As West Perth Local, are there things that you haven't done because insurance has got in the way of doing a community activity?
I think it's in the planning of the activity. Even as most recently as today, we're looking at some of the grant fundings that we want to do, and to get the money we want for something, we have to have a minimum of 1,000 participants, for example, to maybe get a $20,000 grant or a $15,000 grant. That is woefully outside of our $500 limit. We can get extra, but then it's just an extra layer of cost and difficulty that often you have to weigh up if it's really worth it. So we do try to stay under those caps. So we do try to stay fairly small. I mean, 500 is a lot, I get, but it is something that stops us from being as big and as bold as we'd like to be.
Councillor Coe.
Thanks for coming to speak to us. Insurance is something I'm always struggle a bit with trying to get my head around. Mm. Can I ask you, with the West Perth Local, do you have insurance now?
Yeah.
And do you mind me asking, are you allowed to share with us how much you pay?
Not really. I don't have it right now what we pay. It's probably $2,000, I'd say, from memory. But bearing in mind, that does cover a little bit of that glass cover. We only have public liability insurance and some glass cover, a little bit of contents to throw in to satisfy our landlord. But you're looking at about the $2,000 mark for that. Yeah.
Anyone else? Thank you very much. And can I just add that we're very, I think all of us as elected members, I can speak for everyone to say we're very appreciative of the volunteer work that you do for our city. It's not easy to be a volunteer in a community group. I was one for many years. And so we appreciate all the work that you've done for West Perth and West Perth Local. Thank you.
Thank you.
So if I could now invite Emily Tilbrook, representing the East Perth Community Group, to step forward and make your deputation. Thank you.
Thank you. Deputy the Lord Mayor, councillors and ladies and gentlemen, my name is Emily Tilbrook. I'm the Vice Chair of the East Perth Community Group, and I'm speaking today on behalf of the East Perth Community Group Committee. I'm going to be saying very much similar things, but on a slightly different track because it's very focused on things from our perspective of the East Perth Community Group. So thank you for the opportunity to make this representation to the council with respect to the council exploring options for the community group insurance support program to cover the cost of insurances for community groups in the City of Perth. The East Perth Community Group currently has close to 900 members, just giving a bit of setting the scene for what we insure. We have active committee of 8 and several working groups comprising of approximately 40 regular and active volunteers. Our shindigs and community meetings also regularly attract about 100 or so members. Over the last several years, the East Perth Community Group has applied for sponsorship from the City of Perth for a variety of events and activations. The cost of ongoing administrative expenses such as insurances are specifically precluded underneath those city policy sponsorships, which you guys would all be very aware of. Insurance has repeatedly been mentioned as an issue for us either in relation to insurance costs or the relevance of the coverage of the activities of the group. In some cases, we doubt if we could obtain suitable insurance. For instance, if we were to pursue grants to install parklets, there are concerns regarding the insurance coverage for the installation of the infrastructure. The more we look into those kind of issues, we considering infrastructure like this in the community, the greater the concerns we have around insurance. They're our main ones. And this isn't necessarily going to cover the and factor in that stuff, but that's an ongoing insurance concern for us as well. Affordability of insurance is a critical issue to us as we need to provide financial protection and peace of mind for our members, volunteers and participants. The East Perth Community Group shares the same broad concerns with insurance as the other neighbourhood groups, West Perth Local, Northbridge Common and the City of Perth Western Residents. We've all had email communications throughout the week. It's pleasing to see that as a part of your investigation, the City consulted other local government authorities who have noted provided similar incentives and that you've obtained information on relevant and available insurance policies for community groups and cost estimates. We note that it would be useful to see in greater detail regarding these investigations if we have not been able to find adequate insurance cover to cover for the cost as low as those that you guys have quoted, that you have been quoted to you. It would be interesting to see the details of the policies covered in those rates, as it may give us greater insight into how other jurisdictions manage this. Our current insurances are $2,776.22, and it's cheaper than the $3,540 we were initially quoted, and it's actually cheaper than previous years for us. However, it doesn't include workers' compensation, which we have recently identified as a shortcoming. And we're also mindful that insurance premiums are likely to increase and therefore the cost is only likely to increase over time. Because of this, we would like to highlight the $2,000 grant, while very, very welcome, would not cover the current insurance rates for us. We estimate that the $2,000 shared between 10 groups on your breakdown of costs comes to about $1,830 per group, including GST and $2,013 including GST. That therefore leaves a gap in the amount we currently pay, and the proposed grant amount would likely be even greater with workers' compensation and the increased premium amounts over time. Whilst we welcome the cost for insurance, would the council consider an option where the amount available will be varied according to the size of the membership and the number of volunteers? And finally, we have questions regarding timing. Current grant guidelines don't allow for a reimbursement of previous expenses. We would welcome some clarity around this in the guidelines, especially as insurance renewal periods may not align with grant timelines. In closing, we want to be clear that we are very appreciative of the consideration the council is giving to funding insurances for community groups, and only request further consideration being given to the current and projected costs we incur to obtain adequate coverage. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Does anyone have any questions for Emily? No? Emily, we thank you for stepping up to be Vice Chair of East Perth Community Group. It's a big task, and we really appreciate the work you do as well, and thank you for coming down this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So, moving on to item 6 on the agenda, disclosures of interest. CEO, have there been any disclosures received?
Yes, Deputy Lord Mayor, the following interests have been received: an impartiality interest for
from Councillor Leeser in relation to item 12.3, as Charles Kingsford Smith was her great-grandfather's cousin, and a proximity interest from Councillor Gordon in relation to item 13.2, as her apartment is adjacent to His Majesty's car park.
I hope that means you get a stake in Sydney Airport, Councillor Leeser. Thank you very much, Theo. Are there any disclosures of interest from the floor? No? Wonderful. Agenda items 7 to 10 will be dealt with at the ordinary council meeting next week. Reports. We now move to reports. As we move through the reports, I'll ask if any councillors have questions in relation to the items. Item number 11.1, fenced off lead dog park investigation. Are there any questions? Councillor Gordon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one additional question to the one submitted earlier regarding what people's expectation may have been when they submitted feedback that they wanted the ozone reserve to be expanded. Like, would they have had the context that there were limitations on such expansion, or if we go ahead, are they expecting something more grand and more spacious?
CEO? If I could ask the General Manager Planning and Economic Development to answer that question.
Thank you. Through you, Deputy Lord Mayor. I think the intercept surveys certainly were more conversational with people on site, and I suspect, but I can confirm, that additional information was provided. I'm not entirely sure whether the exact extent of the expansion that's now captured in the report was actually socialised at the time of consultation. I can confirm that, but I believe certainly it was, whether or not there'd be an expansion, whether you'd support an expansion or not, but the exact extent of that I'd need to confirm.
Councillor Leeser, are you happy with your question answered? Excellent. We'll move on to item number 12.2, strengthening heritage assets value proposition. Sorry, 12.1, major events at festival sponsorship. Any questions on this item, 12.1?
In there, if I recall, it had a 6-month application time.
Councillor Bevan, yes?
Yeah, I believe that's probably too long. Mm-hmm. I would suggest that 3 months would be more appropriate because, an example, if you have something come along like the AFL, we didn't have 6 months to prepare for that. And I think we need to be agile and have the ability to make decisions a lot quicker than 6 months.
Did you want to ask the administration a question or was it just a statement?
Probably that was a comment. But could I ask the question, is that possible to break it back to 3 months or a shorter period of time?
CEO, so if I could ask the General Manager Community Development to answer that.
Thank you. Through the Deputy Lord Mayor, the current guidelines for 6 months are because the predominantly major events and festivals relate to national and international events, so for that kind of scale we'd expect that there's quite a lot of activity approvals, traffic management and the like. So in an ideal world, yes, the 6 months would be our suggested response. We can, however, put in the guidelines that there is some degree of flexibility.
Follow-up question?
That's fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Coe, you have a question?
This is for 4.1, right? Yep.
Great.
I just got a question. Are there any particular events in mind that some of these changes proposed here would benefit?
CEO, do you have any particular events in mind?
I think with regards to the percentage, it's really looking at attracting, which is actually point number two in the recommendations, attracting some of the larger events. If I recall last year, there was an opportunity for council to consider the WA Day opportunity. The guidelines did limit the potential to attract or at least to match the funding that would have probably attracted them to the city rather than where they currently are. So it really gives maximum flexibility.
Do you feel that answers your question, Councillor Coe?
That's
Councillor Laser.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, Councillor Coe.
I actually don't remember. Was this discussed in the engagement session? I feel like I'm not very familiar with it.
Would you like to answer that, CEO?
If I could ask the General Manager of Community Development to respond.
Thank you. The event strategy, the 2025 event strategy, was endorsed by Council in May earlier this year. So it has been an ongoing discussion about a desire to move to more facilitated events. That actually is our priority in our event strategy, to have a facilitator role rather than a market-led role, or rather than a city-led role. So as part of that conversation and preparing for the budget, we've had discussions as recently as last week in regards to what is the desired outcome for major events and festivals, noting, as we have in the item, the expenditure that's already been allocated out for the 1.18 that's been allocated in the budget. So the discussion in this sense of the item is about ensuring an in-principle agreement for a stronger budget and for stronger percentage involvement by the city in terms of sponsorship, so that we can then go out to the community and say that the organisation is committed to the event strategy, does want to see more sponsored market-led proposals through, and that will then give us hopefully some more proposals coming through, because as we said in the item, the events that we're seeing, although we want to be the capital city and events heart of WA, we're not seeing the kind of scale of events come through at this point in time that we would like. So that's why the recommendation is on the table for consideration. And I'd also quickly note that because major events have to, as you've pointed out, Councillor Bevan, give at least 6 months' notice, so we're talking about major events, that's part of the reason of putting this up now, so that we can go back out to the market and say there is going to be a more significant budget in this particular area. Thank you.
Councillor Lisa, go ahead.
Thank you. Through the chair, I had a question about the budgeting. So I had a response to my question, which was good, but it also says that council should we agree to this motion, we need to determine where the money comes from, basically. So what would be the next step to determine where the money would come from in the budget? Thank you.
CEO.
So this will be part of the budget conversation that we've already commenced, and looking more broadly at where the money may be available from. So it's to be determined by council.
Councillor Coe.
Sorry, again about the where the money is going to be coming from. Will it be subtracting from things like the art sponsorship or the music festival sponsorship, those sort of things? Will it be subtracting from those other areas?
CEO. Again, it would be from the broader budget, so it may well be that there's a capital project that doesn't have a priority. It might well be within the existing grants and sponsorships. It's a sum of money that would be looked at from the entirety of the city budget. So it's, at this stage, I can't advise specifically where the money would come from.
Thank you. And CEO, if I may ask a question, is this pool of money the kind of money that we would be dipping into if there were blockbuster events at Optus Stadium that we wanted to capitalise on as a city, like we did with the AFL Grand Final and the People's Parade?
As it relates to activating the city, again, those particular situations would come to council. It would be council decision. So we would hope that it would be anything that activates our city.
So would it be from this pool of funds?
This would be for major events. There are other funding pools for different, whether it be something, it's difficult to predict, but based on whatever the request is, then the funding would come from whichever allocation was appropriate.
So I think the budget allocation that we had, just to follow up, was $300,000 or $400,000 for the grand final parade. Is that considered a major? No, I think Councillor Gordon wanted to increase it to $500,000, but we didn't do it, did we? Or did we? Anyway, is that considered a major event budget?
That could be something that would be drawn down from the major events, yes.
Thank you. Any other questions? No? Thank you very much. So item number 12.2, strengthening heritage assets value proposition. Are there any questions from councillors on this item? Councillor Gordon?
Thank you. Sorry, one I forgot to ask earlier. With regards to the work area, my interpretation of the change from the status quo is we're actually reducing the number of streets of which properties can apply. And I just wonder whether doing that will reduce the pool of applicants and potentially mean less competitive tension and that we wouldn't be giving it to people that could achieve greater things.
CEO? So this is in relation to 12.2, and I have the General Manager Community Development as able to respond to this question.
Thank you, through the Deputy Lord Mayor. In the attachment, we do articulate why our recommendation is to actually tighten up the area for the number of streets. It is a decision for council. It is a recommendation of the officers that we would get more impact by having a smaller area that's designated for these this type of support. So that really is the rationale, and through some of the benchmarking that they've done, and it, which is also included in the attachment. So there is a level of rationale of why it's recommended, but ultimately it is a council decision.
Thank you very much. Any other questions on that item? No, we'll move on to item number 12.3, commemorative works request, centenary of airmail service Langley Park, noting the impartiality interest from Councillor Lisa and her ancestor. Are there any questions on this item? No? Okay, moving on to item number 13.1, variation to contract 00001819/20, specialised cleaning of car parks, roads and footpaths, part A. Thank you for that sexy title. Any questions on this item? You're happy with the answer for your question, Councillor Laser?
Yes, thank you.
Wonderful. Item number 13.2, request for tender, another sexy title, 00080 electrical lighting renewal, infrastructure lighting upgrades. Any questions on this item? And Councillor Lazy, you are happy with your questions?
Yes, thank you.
Excellent. Item number 13.3, waste to energy. Any questions on this item? Councillor Gordon, are you happy with your responses? No questions. Item number 14.1, monthly financial report for October 2021. Are there any questions on this item? No, thank goodness. Michael Kent's not here, or is he? Oh, okay. item 14.2, schedule of accounts paid. Any questions on this item? No? We're zooming through it. 14.3, Community Group Insurance Support Program. Any questions on this item? Councillor Lever.
Thank you. We had heard from the deputation, and it is in the papers, that the modelling was done on 10 community groups, but we don't know of that many. I don't think we know of that many in our city. Can we just have some commentary about that, please?
CEO. If I could ask Melissa Murphy, the Acting General Manager of Corporate Services, to respond.
Thank you. And through the Chair. Yes, the list was provided to us in terms of the groups that we commonly interact with at the City. I have a list, if you'd like me to let you know whom we considered. We considered Activate Perth, Big N, City of Perth, Western Residents Association, Clayfield Collective, Clayfield Catchment Group, Eastern Perth Community Safety Group, Historic Heart Incorporated, Love East Perth, Northbridge Common, On William, Rotary Club of Elizabeth Quay, West Perth Local, and with One Voice, Perth, North Bridge Residents Association, and William Street Collective. The group was not meant to be exhaustive. It was an indicative list at the request of the potential insurer that was looking to gather some information about what a typical group might be considered for insurance. So it wasn't overly specific or prescriptive. It was provided as an illustrative group.
Thank you very much for that response. I have a follow-up question, if it's okay. Are the majority of those groups that have actually sought funding from the city in the last 12 to 24 months? Groups like On William, Big N?
Can I refer that query on to our community development area, please?
Through you, Deputy Lord Mayor, not all of those, as far as I'm aware, have received funding through local activation grants or the like. We can provide a detailed summary for elected members, if you like.
Thank you. I'm just curious as to the status of some of them and if they exist, did you speak to them? Is there a CEO or a managing director that you engage with?
Maybe if I could take that question, Deputy Lord Mayor. From the insurer's perspective, they're really wanting to get an indication of the types of groups we're talking about. So when we say community group, a group of people who come together with a common cause or agenda may not necessarily be needing insurance. So for the purposes of demonstrating to the insurers the types of groups that have existed in the past, what their terms of reference are and what their scope is, would have been informative for the insurer to reach an estimate as far as what might be a premium that could be paid. So some of those groups that have been referenced haven't actually operated for some time, but for a period of time they may have. They might have had different agendas. I think for the purposes of this paper, we're also very interested in ensuring that it is a group of people who would need insurance, which usually means they have to do some activity that needs a coverage. That's why I think that will ensure that those organisations that are delivering services to the community are the ones that we're covering, rather than groups who may have common interests but not necessarily delivering to community, if that makes sense.
Thank you very much, Councillor Gobbert. Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Picking up on some of the commentary this evening, are we able to get some advice, or can I get some advice from admin on what a Tier 1 and Tier 2 insurance scheme might look like, so that we've got that grant amount that would address the smaller groups, like the William Street Collective and the other ones in East Perth, and then looking at the top tier, or our identified neighbourhood groups like West Perth Local, East Perth Local, Northbridge Common, Activate Perth and the City of Perth Western Residents Association. So could I just have some commentary about how a Tier 1, Tier 2 might look?
CEO. Thank you. We would take some advice from the insurer. I think coming back to my point that those organisations that deliver activity or services are the ones that would require or would be eligible for this payment. I'm not certain of some of those other groups what their why they would need insurance, so I'm not even certain that they would be it would be necessary. So maybe if we get some more detail about the on what criteria the insurers asked and maybe arrived at a premium, and then if there is a tier approach to the premium payments, because take your point, some of the community groups are very large, their risks are higher. So usually, and there's a broker in the room, I'm acknowledging, better place to work out how an insurance premium is arrived at, but risk is at the basis of it all.
Thank you, Councillor Leeser.
Thank you, dear Em. The point made by the East Perth Community Group about the timings, so are we able through this policy to reimburse something that's had to be paid urgently ahead of our process here?
CEO?
it would be that the invoice would be provided to the city and then the payment would be made. So it wouldn't be, as I anticipate, on an annual basis, because everyone's insurance premium can be have different dates. So unless I'm wrong on that, and I'm now looking to the General Manager of Corporate Services, but it would be a recouping arrangement, so payments when the invoice is received.
Yes, through the Chair. If the members are favourable towards our recommendation, which is that the preferred method is to take on a funding approach that is a city administered, or fund, depending on which approach we take, we can then look at what the appropriate method might be, including a reimbursement. So at the moment, one of our recommendations to you is that we look to do a fund that is city administered, funded, sorry. Yeah.
Thank you very much for that response. Any more questions? Councillor Gordon.
Thank you. With regards to the feedback from the deputations that the $2,000 per eligible community group is not sufficient, is there any reason why we can't maintain the $20,000 budget but allow up to $4,000 per community group and then have criteria, either a tiered system like Councillor Gobbett said, or varying amounts given?
CEO. We could actually look into that over the next, between now and the council meeting, because agree with the point that you're making. Some of the community groups are larger, their premiums would be higher because their risk is higher. So if it is capped at an $18,000 or $20,000 threshold, some community groups won't go up to the $2,000. So there could be a way where we work with the insurer to arrive at that variable premium based on each group. So if we could take that on notice and provide advice back.
Thank you very much. Councillor Bevan.
Through the Chair, if I may, my answer might have just come, actually. Have we considered the formula for distributing the money, considering you have different populations, different memberships, different degrees of exposure to each of the groups? So is that something that we've looked at and considered?
CEO. So we haven't looked at each individual and what a premium might be for each individual community group, but we will go back to the city insurer and seek some further advice as to whether there can, whether that would be, you know, how it might all wash out. Yes.
Thank you.
Councillor Gordon.
Thank you. There was some good advice this evening from our resident broker. I was just wondering, I assume there's a reason why the city, when giving this grant, couldn't state we recommend a certain broker and certain insurer for the recipients. There might be like a governance issue with regards to doing that.
CEO? So the city actually is insured by the local government insurance scheme, so that is actually I suppose, is like a broker, really, and they have a very, they mostly insure local government. So they have a very, understand the context of local government, but if I could send to the General Manager of Corporate Services, because that might be the city's insurer, but I'm not certain in this regards to this recommendation.
Yes, thank you. At the minute, our insurer has advised us that we should probably not recommend an insurer, that the advice that we've been given is that the that we don't want to sort of be in the space of being an insurance intermediary. And making recommendations about what insurance or what sort of insurer the group should go to because of their own specific circumstances and risks.
Thank you very much. Does that answer your question? Thank you. Any more questions on this item? No? Thank you for those responses. We'll move on to item number 15.1, Draft Strategic Community Plan 2022-2032 Public Consultation. Councillor Lisa, were you happy with the responses to your questions?
Thank you, DLM. There was one question in regards to energy use. So we've got water use measures in here and some other environmental sustainability measures, but we're not doing anything about energy use. So the answer to me is, should it be considered appropriate for this goal to be included? At what point does it get considered, is my question.
CEO. It might well be that energy use is something that is captured in the sustainability strategy, which is currently under development. So I would recommend that might be a more appropriate strategy. Does that answer your question? Yes. Thank you. Any other questions on this item? No? We'll move through to item 15.2, the nomination of elected members to the Library Board of Western Australia. If we can just note that the recommendation seeking a nomination of 3 elected members, so if you're interested in nominating, please contact the CEO. Are there any questions on this item? No? Wonderful. Item number 15.3, 2022 Council Meeting Schedule. Any questions on this item? No? Item number 16, committee reports, following the Audit and Risk Committee meeting held yesterday, and congratulations to Councillor Lisa, who I understand is the new chair of Audit and Risk. There are 2 items referred from the committee to council which will be included on the agenda for next week's ordinary council meeting, so watch that space. And item number 17, notices of motion. Motions of which notice has been given will be dealt with next week at the ordinary council meeting. Item number 18, matters for which the meeting may be closed. There are no matters. And item number 19, no urgent business, unless someone wants to tell me otherwise. And item number 20, I now declare the agenda briefing session closed at exactly 5:45 p.m. Thank you very much, everyone, and for the public, for attending today.
Thank you.